Well, hello, everybody. Bob Christopher is away today, so with Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. You know, every day on this broadcast, you hear the Word of God revealing truth, freedom, and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We are live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be on the air and pose your question or your particular issue on today's broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the tough issues of real life, we invite you to call now. 844-32-BASIC. Again, that's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and fill up those lines right now. We want you to be a part of this broadcast. Again, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we had a call from a person who clearly is going through a tough time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we've said during this month as we've talked about emotional issues and their causes and solutions is that we need to have an attitude of thankfulness. And the problem comes when people think that we're telling them to be thankful for the issues they're having.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible says. In Philippians 4, the Bible says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are never called to be thankful for the problems. Mm-hmm. We are called to be thankful within the problems.
Yeah.
And what does that actually lead to? What it leads to is honesty. A friend of mine sent me a link to a great article in a magazine called Relevant. There's online versions and print versions. And I want to read about a page from that article, because it gets at this issue of being honest with God and with ourselves. I can be in need so I can go on a new journey to find comfort. I can feel sadness so I don't have to live separated from my heart. I can cry and feel afraid because God loves all parts of my story. I don't have to want suffering, but I can choose to embrace it because God doesn't see it as shameful. I can fall apart because Jesus carries me. For God's promises, I'll never abandon you. I'm never going to leave you. I can finally stop to look at my wounds and investigate how they got there. I'm learning to say no in ways I've never dared, and to say yes to me and yes to God. I can remember the dreams I've given up, so I can ask God if any can be made new again. I can ask God, is it too late? And still doubt, because God is faithful even when I'm not. I am finding new friends who understand that both sadness and joy can coexist, who aren't trying to fix me, friends who trust that love is greater than any resolution, who can be honest about their own stories. We can go on because beautiful things can be found among the devastation of letting go. We can be broken and real because Jesus still chooses you and me. If God has brought you on a journey through a season of brokenness, step out to give thanks, not because you're strong, not because everything is picture perfect, but because you are loved.
Yeah.
Now, that's the kind of honesty that we're talking about. God knows what we're going through, and he knows how bad it is even more than we know how bad it is. But even within that, he is constantly initiating into our lives the fact that he loves us, that he is going to work things together for good. Notice that working together for good might mean that you get to die and go be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Say thank you for that.
Sure.
If he makes it possible for you to go on living or to deal with the financial situation, praise God. If you lose your house, praise God. Not because you lost your house, but because he loves you with an everlasting love, a love that is stronger than anything Satan can bring to bear in your life or into my life.
Absolutely.
That's why we preach Jesus crucified and risen again, because he's the solution.
He is the solution, and that's Basic Gospel, friends. Thanks for joining us for this edition. The phone lines, again, are wide open. If you have something you'd like to add to this conversation, for a particular issue you're going through, a Bible question that you just can't quite understand, a passage you can't quite get your arms around, why, we'd love to hear from you. The lines, as I said, are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC. or the full number, 844-322-2742. We await your calls right now. Want you to be a part of the broadcast. That's why we're here live every day, so you can participate. In the meantime, a question from Saab, who writes to us, Richard, from London, England. He says, my question is from the Revelation about the seven churches of Asia Minor, and Jesus saying to the churches, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Is he saying that today to us today? I especially want to know about this passage, which is Revelation 2:4.
Yeah. Saab, by the way, is one of our favorite callers.
Right, he is.
The fact that Absolutely. He calls from England is just so amazing. So we thank him for that. The churches in Revelation are an interesting collection of things. A friend of mine just last week called or wrote and asked for some clarification on it. There are all kinds of theological arguments I could make about the churches in Revelation. You know, were they proof that Revelation was only written in the first century to first century readers? Do they represent epochs of church history? Ignore all of that. First and foremost, Revelation is about Jesus. So when you read a letter to a church, you ask, first of all, what does this say about Jesus? What is he noticing, or what is revealed about him so that I can notice what happened in that church? And because those churches were real places, absolutely real places, I also know that there was immediate application and that there is probably ongoing application. And I tend not to look around at other churches and say, well, clearly God's talking about them, because that makes me judgmental and doesn't help anything. But when I put myself into the role of the church, Ephesus or Thyatira or Laodicea or any of the rest of them, and I say to the Spirit, reveal to me what in my life is making me kind of behave this way or have this kind of attitude or getting off track in this way, so that you can continually renew my mind. And this isn't a salvation issue. This is one of the issues of maturity. How does the Spirit renew my mind, teach me to think, reveal things to me that need to change, that in fact he wants to change? He's not telling me, Richard, you'd better change this. He's saying, why don't you hand this piece to me and let me change it for you? And when, at least for me, when I take that attitude to the churches in Revelation, I find hope. I don't find judgment. I don't find fear. I find true hope, because the Jesus who is completely victorious then, whenever then is, mm-hmm. Can be victorious in me right now. Yeah. And that's worth listening to. That's worth reading. Revelation is one of the most exciting books ever done.
Absolutely. Saab, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Well, right now, again, plenty of open lines. Toll free, 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. We're going to go to New York and Brooklyn, as a matter of fact, and talk to Eugene, listening on our big New York affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Eugene, you're on the air. Hello, Eugene, you're on the air. Well, we thought Eugene was on the air. But
let's put him on hold and they'll check.
Apparently not. Okay, we'll have our operator pick that up. Well, again, open lines, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial, and we would love to hear from you on this edition of the broadcast. Eugene, are you there now? Well, apparently not. Another question from Roberto, who writes to us from Milwaukee, says, I go to a Reformed church, and they believe that the Lord is in the elements, which I do not believe. So is it wrong to participate if they hold this view? That's from Roberto in Milwaukee.
Boy, that is a tough issue. You don't want to be judgmental in the situation. You know, I used to myself shake off the dust from my feet and, you know, shake out my robes and go harumph, harumph at people. And,
yeah.
You know, I was not helping anybody, least of all myself. At the same time, you don't want to give people the impression that you absolutely agree with them in everything that you're doing. So if the congregation in which you are taking communion or the Lord's Supper or whatever they choose to call it, if they have a different belief system than you, you need to be able to talk with someone about it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't continue to participate, because, after all, the Lord's Supper is taken individually. It's not taken as a as a picture of you know, we're all one because we're all uniform. It's a picture of we're all one because Christ is in us. And so you can take communion or do the Lord's Supper anytime you want, any way you want that is meaningful, as long as it's appropriate. But why not set up a lunch appointment someday soon with maybe a head elder or another leader in the church or even the pastor? Be in relationship with them. You know, talk with them. Don't walk in the door and start off with, you know, you're wrong. That's probably not going to win any points. But be in relationship. Have a conversation. Ask why it is they believe that way, and be prepared to explain why you believe the way you believe, and then look for common ground. If there is no common ground, you can still leave as brothers in Christ and not cause a fire behind you. I used to have a problem with burning bridges. And you know, someone would make me mad, and I would write them off, and that was the end of it. And then a wiser person where I was working came up to me one day and said, you know, Richard, you've got to stop burning these bridges. And I said, why? I'm right. He said, that's immaterial. You're going to be working with these people next week or next month or next year. And so being able to stay in relationship while truly disagreeing is a gift of the Spirit, as far as I am concerned. And let the Spirit speak through you and speak through the other person. Both of you will learn something. You don't have to be in absolute agreement. It's not your job to convince him or her. It's not their job to convince you. Relate in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to convince both of the parties.
Yeah.
And then see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, Roberto, hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, you can drop us an email at basicgospel.net or just bob@basicgospel.net, and we'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Open lines, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. We're going to go and try Eugene in Brooklyn one more time. Eugene, are you there?
Hello, good afternoon. How are you brothers doing today?
Well, we're doing great.
Glad we finally connected.
Yeah.
Okay. What I have to say is this question is on the eternal life and salvation. You know, I've been doing a lot of studying with the Word, and I'm sort of confused. So I just want to ask you this question. Like Jesus said, abide in my teaching, and you are, and if you abide in my teaching, you are my disciples, meaning to stay in his teaching. And in Revelation, the church at Sardis, Jesus speaks and makes an example to, like, one person was worthy and the other one was not worthy. Because, you know, so my thing is, this eternal life, is it the reward when he comes back to give it to us? Or because you have some people say, once saved, always saved. But I think that that's going against what the Word of God is saying. So just to get clarity, I would love to hear your explanation on this.
Okay, let me read that little section. It's only six verses. It's out of Revelation 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits or sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, what this, first of all, as we were just talking about, first of all, what does this reveal about Jesus? Is he knows us intimately. Jesus, and this, who holds the seven spirits, or the sevenfold spirit, if he has put that spirit into me, he knows me better than I know myself. Well, he's talking to a group of people who have deluded themselves. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. So that means they're not saved. On the other hand, there are some people in Sardis who truly have accepted Jesus, who have not soiled their clothes in the wording in the passage here. And because they have accepted Jesus, they will walk with him dressed in white. They are worthy. Because they've done good things? No, because they've done the one thing, that is to place their entire trust in Jesus Christ. That is the person who is victorious. So if someone has truly accepted Jesus, that person is victorious, and that name will never be blotted out of the book of life. For the person who has not been victorious, who has not accepted Jesus, who is faking it, who has all these good deeds, but they're really dead, Jesus is warning them and saying, look, come to me now. You don't have much time. The most time any of us have is from the moment we're born physically to the moment we die physically. And we never know when that final moment's going to be. So this warning and encouragement to the church at Sardis is not anti once saved, always saved, or eternal assurance, and it's not anti straighten up and pay attention. What it is true. If you're truly saved, the Spirit will let you know that. If you are not saved but will listen, the Spirit will let you know that too and say, come to Jesus now and receive that salvation. If you're there, if you're not saved, Jesus is the easiest person in the world, in the universe, to accept. If you are saved, rest assured that you absolutely are saved.
Does that help, Eugene?
Okay. Yeah, that does. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. Richard, I'm going to talk about a couple of things before we
sure.
go talk to Phyllis in Louisville, Kentucky. So, Phyllis, hang on there. We'll be with you in just a moment. Friends, do you know your identity in Christ? Well, we'd like to help. We've created a booklet by that name to help you come to understand who you have become as a child of God. And if you're in Christ, that is your identity. And you know what? On Thursday and Friday's broadcast, we're going to tell you how to get your own copy of this brand new booklet from Basic Gospel. So don't miss those broadcasts. Also, tomorrow night at midnight will be the final moment for the annual Thanksgiving sale. And between now and then, you can get 30% off of all the products on our online store at store.basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator while we're actually in the office, and that number is 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC for our order line. So again, take advantage of this opportunity of the annual Thanksgiving sale, 30% off all of the products at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-41-BASIC. Now, let me reiterate that the way that you get this this discount is to enter the coupon code THANKFUL, just the word THANKFUL, and that's a prominent field at the close of the checkout process. So just enter THANKFUL, and that will get you that 30% discount, but that ends at midnight tomorrow night, so take advantage of it. All right, here we go, Louisville, Kentucky. Phyllis, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fine.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I have a question. In my Bible study, we have had several debates about when a person dies. Some have said that when you die, you go straight to heaven. You leave to be, well, let me put it this way. Absent from the body is present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read the Bible, it says that when you're dead, you dead and you don't come to life until Jesus comes back for the great return.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to figure out which is right.
That's a great question. Yes.
In Bible study.
Yeah.
I hope I don't ruin your day. In a way, both statements are absolutely true.
Okay.
When we are physical beings, we were created to be physical beings. The word for that is corporeal. We have bodies. We exist because we have bodies and souls and a spirit. When our body dies, something has to happen with the spirit because the spirit is intended to be immortal. And so our spirits go back to God. If you're saved, that's what it means to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. It doesn't mean that you are physically alive wherever God is, in heaven or whatever you want to call it. Okay?
Okay.
Your body truly dies and goes into the ground and turns to dust. And when
right.
Jesus comes back, when it says he's going to bring the saints with him, he's bringing the spirit and soul to reinfuse them into a brand new body. That's what the resurrection is all about. At that point, the dead will be once again physical beings, and they will be able to walk and talk and experience life and Jesus and all the rest of it. Okay. We are not disembodied spirits floating around in heaven with nothing to do. We are being held in Christ for the resurrection. Now, that's all looking at it from our timeline, because, you know, I had yesterday, and I've got today, and I think I'll have tomorrow, and, you know, on and on. From the point of eternity, what Paul tells us is that we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places.
Okay.
Well, obviously, I'm not there because I haven't gotten there in my timeline, but by faith, we are already victorious because he is victorious. And so, if we keep the various statements in the context in which they're intended, physical, corporeal, timeline-based statements mean just what they mean, and statements about eternity mean what they mean. And if we don't try to force them together in a way that won't work, I think we would do or have a lot less confusion. Have I helped at all?
Yeah, for me you have, and I'm going to try to explain that when I get back to Bible study.
Okay.
I've got some pretty dying horses telling me, well, no, you know, this body, he's going to come back and claim this body. And I said, well, why would he have to come back and get this body if it's gone to dust?
Yeah. And you realize, of course, that even those of us who are alive when he returns get new bodies.
What I'm trying to make them understand is that if we're going to be caught up, it says
yes,
that
everything is new.
Come to him, be the first to rise. I said, so why would he need to come have us come if we're already dead and we're already with him?
Yes.
And they're like, no, you don't understand that. And I said, okay.
So here's the other thing. Truly, this argument is an argument about nothing. Because if I belong to Jesus, I belong to Jesus. Whatever happens when I die. Because since I haven't died, I can't tell you what's going to happen. And and Lazarus didn't write a book, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't know what happened to him.
Okay.
The issue is to stay focused on Jesus and what he has accomplished for us and in us, and to try not to come to blows over issues that are not revealed. They truly, the final answer has not been revealed, so let's just leave it where it is and praise God that however he works this, we are all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, and it's going to be fantastic.
Can I ask you one other question?
Sure, very quickly.
Did Jesus ever drink wine?
Probably. It's just the way it was back in those days. It was safer to drink wine than it was to drink a lot of the water. And he wouldn't have been able to use the new wine and old wineskins example without that kind of knowledge being common among the people. Of course, he wasn't a drunkard or anything like that, but chances are he actually drank wine.
Thank you so much.
You're
Phyllis,
very
thank
welcome,
you.
Phyllis.
Good question, and it's always good to get those questions that we can't quite put together, but we kind of can. So.
Yeah.
if you can buy into that. Well, I just want to point out one more time of the annual Thanksgiving sale on through midnight tomorrow night. 30% off, and you use the coupon code THANKFUL when you visit store.basicgospel.net or call our order line at 844-41-BASIC. You know, at this time each year, we pause to give thanks for the enormous blessings we've received from God as a nation. Our currency bears the words, "In God we trust," and through the ranks, though the ranks of the detractors seem to be increasing just almost daily, I pray that most of us in America still do trust in God. More specifically, trust in Jesus Christ. We're on the airwaves and online each weekday proclaiming him and the fullness of his love, grace, and life, and many times offering clarity and biblical guidance for the hard issues many of us face every day. If this program is helping you find answers, we ask you to express your appreciation to God by supporting his work through Basic Gospel. It's a partnership that goes forward only because of those of you who give, many times sacrificially, to keep the truth coming on this broadcast. We need your support right now. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Please join with us today, if possible, with what you can give joyfully and cheerfully, the New Covenant way. We hope to hear from you today. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis saying join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.